Our sermonic scripture can be found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. These words are recorded. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up upon it would break down their walls of stone. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds. This morning, I want to speak on a subject that I hope all of us will come to experience, and that is good trouble. This week, we celebrated the life of Congressman John Lewis, a man who knew something about getting into good trouble. As a college student, he joined the civil rights movement and became one of the original 13 freedom riders who courageously challenged segregation in the South. And for it, he and his cohorts were beaten by police and angry mobs with clubs, pipes, and baseball bats. Yet he kept on fighting. In 1965, he was one of the 600 peaceful protesters trying to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma when state troopers infamously tear gassed and beat the protesters as they knelt down to pray. On that Sunday, which came to be known as Bloody Sunday, Lewis and others were beaten mercilessly and his skull was fractured. Yet and still, Lewis kept on fighting. Eventually, he was elected to national political office, where he became a lion in Congress who continually stood up for justice, equality, and fairness. Before he passed, he famously uttered these words: "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. But it is the struggle of a lifetime. Never ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble." Listen, even today, John Lewis continues to remind us that whenever you attempt to do something good for humanity, you're always going to run into some trouble. Listen, the enemy is not going to be sitting on the sidelines cheering you on, saying, "You go, boy," and "You go, girl." But in a real sense, the forces of evil will come together to trip you up, throw you off course, and rain on your parade. Listen, whenever you attempt to fight for justice, fairness, and equality, the enemy is always going to show up to try to silence you, mock you, and defeat you. Listen, you can't live a life of help without catching some hell. You can't work for peace without encountering some pain. You can't fight for opportunity without running into some opposition. Can I tell you again, whenever you attempt to walk with the Lord, you're going to run into the enemy. Listen, whenever you try to do what's right, somebody's going to try to do you wrong. Whenever you lift up the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, somebody is going to spread some alternative facts. Listen, if you're Job, whom God can trust, you'll meet a devil who will try to trip you up. If you are an Elijah who can call down fire from heaven, you'll meet a Jezebel who will try to run you down. If you are a Peter whose name the Lord has changed, you'll be a Simon whom the devil wants to sift like wheat. Listen, whenever God gives you power, you're going to find somebody who wants to give you some pain. But John Lewis would emphatically tell us that it's just the cost of the ticket to get in some good trouble. Well, that's what's going on in our text. Nehemiah is getting into some good trouble. In the text, God instructed Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem to protect its citizens from enemy attack. The wall had been decimated and destroyed and were lying in ruins as a result of Babylonian captivity. The very name Jerusalem in the Bible comes from the Hebrew root word for shalom, which means peace. So in a real sense, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in today's context could be summarized as a call to rebuild the walls of peace in the world, the walls of social protection, the walls of goodness, love, justice, and mercy for all of God's children. Well, check out what's going on in the text. Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, became furious and angry when he saw that Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. So check out what happens in the text. In order to maintain control, Sanballat drops his differences with the Ammonites to the east, the Arabs to the south, and the Philistines to the west. And in retaliation against Nehemiah and the Jews, they came together to try to stop the reconstruction of the wall. Have you ever noticed that whenever you are attempting to do something great and grand for the Lord, and it's about to take off, folks who don't like each other but like you even less will come together, call a timeout on their differences just to oppose you and your plans. Listen, your enemies will call their enemies just to make sure you don't do what God has called you to do. Can I bring it closer to home? Listen, rich white people who really have nothing in common with poor white people, except for this false construct of race, will come together in solidarity just to oppress and criminalize other demographics because they have been tricked into this ungodly mythology of white supremacy. Listen, many poor whites will vote against their own interests because they have been because they have been bamboozled and hoodwinked into believing that their real enemies are black and brown people rather than the fat cat greedy billionaires who have sucked all the life out of the economy and who are really responsible for the fact that the middle class is shrinking. Well, that's what's going on in the text. An assortment of enemies come together to oppose Nehemiah. Again, the text says, when Sanballat saw that they were rebuilding the wall, he was very angry. He flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews. Let me say that again. He flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews. Can I contemporize the text? When the Reconstruction laws were passed after slavery that allowed blacks to be elected to office in record number, whites got angry and responded with domestic terrorism by the hands of the KKK. When blacks moved into northern cities during the Great Migration, ready to work hard for a decent living and good schools, white politicians got angry, rose up, and forced them into uninhabitable slums. Come on now. When the Brown versus Board of Education decision was handed down in 1954, finally giving black children a chance to attend better schools, white authorities got angry and responded by shutting down schools and diverting money into private coffers, leaving millions of children in educational rot. Listen, when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 were passed, the powers that be got angry and drafted the Southern Strategy, a racist tactic that stoked the fears of white people in an attempt to control the South for 100 years. Listen, when black mayors were elected in record number to major cities around the nation, the white power structure got angry and flooded the inner city with crack cocaine and passed tough crime bills that led to mass incarceration. But that's not all. Listen, when Donald Trump saw Barack Obama sitting in the White House, rebuilding the walls of healthcare, rebuilding the walls of the economy, rebuilding the walls of America's image abroad, he got angry and mocked the president and accused him of not even being born in this country. Listen, when a Minneapolis police officer took the life of George Floyd by kneeling on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, protests erupted all over the world, many of which are still going on in some American cities. Listen, President Trump got angry and is sending federal troops in cities to shut down the voices of the protesters. Come on now. Whenever an individual like Nehemiah says, I will stand up and build, the forces of evil are always present to say, I will stand up and oppose. The text says Sanballat got angry. Listen, Sanballat is the enemy of revival who shows up to oppose what God wants to build. Sanballat is the critical persecutor who brings false accusation and alternative facts against the people of God who are putting their hands to the plow. Listen, the spirit of Sanballat is to discourage you. It is to get you to quit what God has called you to do. The spirit of Sanballat is to stop the work of the Lord. The spirit of Sanballat is a judging, mocking, insidious spirit that sometimes even comes in sheep's clothing. So the question is, how do we deal with the Sanballats and Tobias of the world? Well, first of all, we need to do what Nehemiah and the Jews did. In verses 6-9, it says the Jews were not deterred by the insults of their opponents and that they had a mind to work. That's what another translation said, that they had a mind to work. Listen, there's nothing like the power of a made-up mind. Listen, there's nothing like the determination of a made-up mind. The text says they were not distracted by the insults because they had a mind to do the work of the Lord. And in today's context, what is the work of the Lord? The prophet Micah in Micah 6-8 answers that question. God has already told us what is right and what God demands. Seek justice, love mercy, and humbly obey your God. In John 13-34, Jesus puts it this way, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Before he died, somebody asked John Lewis, what motivated him to stare down Southern segregation? What motivated him to fight the good fight and get in good trouble? Listen, John Lewis didn't give a long reply. Listen, he didn't rehearse a long litany of reasons. John Lewis simply said, love. Love is what motivates me to wake up every morning and fight the good fight. And listen, that's what Christianity is all about. It's a gospel of love. And listen, to love God is to hate evil in the world. To love God is to hate injustice. To love God is to hate exploitation and bigotry of all kinds. Listen, Jesus put it this way. He said, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Come on, now I love that. We shall be known by our love. Listen, love will repair the damage. Love will make the wounded whole. Love will transform the world. Jesus says we shall be known by our love. Listen, most people have birthmarks that are specific to them, whether it's a mole or another unique kind of mark. Listen, how do you think designers are known? Listen, they are known by their trademarks. They have logos of various kinds so that even if you don't read the name, guess what? You will still know who made it. Well, likewise, God has established a mark, a sign that tells the world that we are children of God. Listen, you don't have to carry a big Bible. You don't have to wear a cross around your neck. You don't have to don clergy attire. The mark that lets the world know that we are Christians is our love. That's why Jesus asked Peter the question, do you love these more than me? Then if not, feed my sheep. Well, guess what? Jesus is asking the same question today. Do you love these more than me? Do you love money more than me? Do you love Americanism more than me? Do you love white supremacy more than me? Do you love the ways of the world more than me? Do you love your own comfort and convenience more than me? If not, then feed my sheep. If not, then work for justice. If not, then fight for righteousness. If not, then show up for equality. If not, then get into some good trouble. Listen, be wary of a blessing that comes comes without a burden. Beware of a crown that was not purchased by a cross. Beware of easy religion that sweeps trouble under the word. Listen, to serve God, you got to get into some trouble. To make a change in the world, you got to get into some trouble. To make a difference in the lives of the least of these, you got to get into some trouble. Listen, no cross, no crown, no fight, no future, no trouble, no triumph. John Lewis would tell us, get into some good trouble. But guess what? Troubles don't last always. Weeping might endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When we love God, we have to get into some good trouble. God bless you, and amen.